Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker. Mocha.
How y'all doing? This is Bobby Rivers with Mocha. All right, what does that stand for? Man of a certain U, that's H-U-E, and age. Because let's face it, folks, I am now in the world according to ARP. That's A-A-R-P. So I am going to talk about things. You know how I love movies, so I'm going to be talking a lot about movies. And my attitudes are going to be impressed by color, my color, and my age. So there you have it. I've got a very special guest with me today, a real good friend of mine. We're going to talk about films. And you know what? Speaking of films, there is, if you get Netflix, there is a documentary that you need to see. It's called Five Came Back. Now, there was an old movie of the same title. It's not that. This is a documentary about five of the best Hollywood directors who went into World War II, and they served, and how it affected the films that they made after the war. The directors are Frank Capra, George Stevens, John Huston, William Wyler, and John Ford. And as far as I'm concerned, Capra, to me, he was the Charles Dickens of Hollywood. It happened one night. Mr. Deeds goes to town. Mr. Smith goes to Washington. It's a Wonderful Life. If you watch this documentary on Netflix, you will be stunned at how relevant it feels to recent activity in Charlottesville. Because Capra, Hollywood really wasn't getting involved in World War II as quickly as probably it should have. But we have to keep in mind that back then, people didn't have 24-hour news. They didn't have television. So they heard reports on the radio, and the visual news that they got was when they went to the movies and you saw newsreels. So Hitler is devouring Europe in the 1930s, but people didn't know the extent of it. You know, Frank Capra gave us movies that we loved, and he saw a documentary that he said just terrified him, and it was called Triumph of the Will, made by Leni Riefenstahl. She was a woman, a director, a filmmaker, and it showed Nazi Germany in the mid-1930s. And when Capra saw how massive the Third Reich was, he said, "Oh, Mr. Deeds, just got real." You know, he just said, "We have got to get involved." So if you're into classic films, go to Netflix, see that, and I'm telling you, if you loved Capra before, you will fall in love with him all over again. Because all of these men, they were seriously changed and affected by the war. How could you not be? Wyler hated the way that the segregated troops were treated. He had to deal with the black soldiers, and he went, "They're being treated like this in America, and then they have to go overseas and fight for us? Oh, hell no." And he hated the stereotypes that Hollywood studios wanted to keep in process for black people. Capra made a documentary called The Negro Soldier, and it gives you more positive images of black people, more history than Hollywood was giving us, because you're seeing women in uniform. You're getting more history about African-American males. But at that time, Hollywood still has the majority of black actors on screen going, "Yes, sir, I'll get the dough." So at the end of this documentary, there was a soundbite from Capra that was so beautiful. It made me cry. I have seen this documentary three times. It is that moving. It's that touching. It's that powerful. It's narrated by Meryl Streep. So it's called, again, Five Came Back. If you get Netflix, check it out. And, you know, I may be talking about it with my special guest. We're going to take a break right now. And then somebody, you know, just lend your ears to him, because we're just going to have some good talk about some good films and maybe some not so good films. We'll be right back.
Mocha.
back. Thanks for lending me your ears. This is Bobby Rivers with Mocha. What does that stand for? Man of a certain hue and age. I'm black. I'm older. I got my AARP card. Can I have a discount, please? And you know what? And now that I'm in that age category, we can be hip without hip replacement. Because it used to be, you turn 50 and automatically people think that you're like the couple trying to catch the plane in High Anxiety, the Mel Brooks movie. The Snappy the Peppy. It's not like that. We are still valid.
I'm sorry, as your producer, I just had to come in because I f***ing love that scene.
Oh, who just my God. No, he used to walk like this.
I don't like they make this the Bloody Marys with the spike. Snappy with the peppy.
If you are going to listen to this podcast, you have got to be a fan of Mel Brooks.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your thought.
And St. Madeline Kahn. Oh, am I right?
Oh, the most understated comedic genius of her time.
Brilliant.
I'm sorry. And your producer's going to just check out. You go ahead.
Okay, as a producer. Now, the other person you had heard laughing in there, oh, let me tell you this. Hosted a trailblazing entertainment news show on TV that y'all missed. It was a show that I told columnists about. National columnist, and they missed it.
Did
they
should have been Congress.
Congress, oh. Columnists.
Oh, okay.
Columnists.
You didn't tell Congress.
Yeah, well, later, because they're all, you know, they're at Trump Tower, I guess. I don't know. So, Mike Sargent is a filmmaker. He's been a film critic. He hosted a show on Arise TV, and then, here's what I told columnists at a Daily News, Entertainment Weekly, The Post. I went, you have a big, brawny, brainy, good-looking, straight black man who is talking about movies, new Hollywood movies, classic Hollywood movies, foreign movies, and putting a spotlight on LGBT filmmakers and women directors, and every single show has a woman critic. Because let's face it, you rarely get to see the women reviewing movies, and women of color reviewing movies. And it's on every week. You need to pay attention to this because we've never seen a film review interview show like this. And they all went, nothing. Nothing. You know what? I was like Annie Sullivan. I'm pushing the pump, and she ain't putting her hands under the spigot. Just give me a little what, something to work with me, people. So I have got Mike Sargent with me here today.
Bobby Rivers.
Mike Sargent.
Bobby Rivers.
Man, how you doing?
How are you?
How are you? Let me ask you, do you have a Netflix account? Have you seen Five Came Back?
No, but I'm going to see it now. I'll get
brilliant.
Access to Netflix.
It's brilliant.
And I'm going to reach out to them because I am impressed. But I do have a question. The Negro Soldier film that you mentioned.
Yeah.
What year was that made?
That was made during the war.
So it was sometime in the 40s, early 40s.
In the
40s, or?
Right. Because there was one in it, part of it, he covers previous wars in American history and black men who were heroic in those wars, which, you know, you never saw Hollywood films about any of that.
You know, it's very interesting that you mention this because, as you probably know, I'm a film critic, but I'm also a filmmaker.
Right.
And I just recently got hired to write the screenplay for a project that I really believe in. It's about the first black Marines. And I've been doing...
Is this from which World War One or...
World War Two? Because there were no black Marines till World War Two.
Uh-huh.
There's a whole historical... I mean, you know, Franklin Roosevelt had to sign this thing because of Eleanor, basically.
Right.
But it's fascinating, you know, and, you know...
Let me just tell the folks, Eleanor Roosevelt, his wife, Eleanor was not a black Marine.
No, she was not. She was not. But she's... directly responsible for them being allowed in the Marines because prior to that
she rocked it.
Yes, she did.
Eleanor Roosevelt rocked it as a first lady.
You look back on Franklin, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, it was Eleanor. That's all I gotta say. But it's really you're bringing up something that's very important and I have to say something else you mentioned there because you're talking about context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understanding the context of these filmmakers and their work now gives you greater understanding to why they made the films they made
yes.
and what it meant. And, you know, I have to say, The other thing you mentioned in there, coming back to context and film, is Leni Riefenstahl, which many people don't know about. But here's the thing about film.
I just want to tell them, you can probably find Triumph of the Will, because it's a documentary.
On YouTube, probably.
On YouTube.
Yeah, definitely.
And she was a filmmaker. She's showing the Nazi party, but there's also a... She has the most visually arresting footage. I mean, if only her powers had been used for good. I mean, that's, that's as a personal standpoint. But when she did her athletic stuff, when she showed the German athlete, her work is almost the template for the sports documentary.
That they make today.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, that's what's interesting. And coming back to context, because film is probably, for humanity, the greatest tool of propaganda ever created.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is, Sid Field, who you probably know, I interviewed him once, and he said, watching film is sort of like shared dreaming.
Ah, yes.
Okay, and I thought that was a great analogy. And it is, because, people tend to believe what they see on screen,
They do.
The small screen.
The big screen.
And the big screen.
Yes.
And in terms of history, it's interesting that it took a filmmaker, an artist, someone who had context to the world,
right,
to want to make a film about the Negro soldier, because, like he said, they're getting treated, and when he says they're getting treated like crap, trust me, I know what he's talking about.
My father was in the segregated troops of World War II. And the thing is,
did you know David Dinkins, by the way, was one of those first Black De Montfort points?
I had no idea.
Yes, I didn't know either. So, yeah.
But our former mayor of New York.
Former mayor of New York.
In the documentary, it's really, Capra seems to be like the main one of the five, because he was an immigrant. I mean, think about everything going on today. He was from Italy, and as Meryl Streep says as narrator, he put up with bigotry himself, and she's reading from one article. He was from Sicily, and Sicily, Italy wasn't considered classy. Yeah, I mean, even though that's totally wrong, but the Italians weren't considered upscale, which is something that comes out at that time in the documentary. And in one article about Capra, he's referred to as the little WOP. Yes. This immigrant goes on to go into service in World War II and be decorated. And what inspired him to do the Negro Soldier was he was so taken with how furious William Wyler was at how the Black soldiers were treated that he said, okay, I've got to get involved and help in this too. And he did the Negro, and the Negro Soldier is also on Netflix.
Well, it's interesting because I think, we were also talking earlier about, the film Detroit.
Right.
Which,
can I mention something before you get into that?
Because
it'll probably help you. We recently had the umpteenth anniversary, probably the 40th, anniversary of the Watts riots. Mm-hmm. Okay, I grew up in South Central L.A., I was a kid. We lived in the curfew area during the Watts riots.
Oh, wow.
I was a little boy. So my younger sister and I walked up to the corner, and it was almost like being in a sci-fi movie, because there were no cars on Central Avenue. We're just looking at troops at the National Guard, trucks and trucks and trucks of armed men in U.S. uniforms coming into our neighborhood. So what sparked the Watts riots? Still, it was like police aggravation and a Black citizen. And that's what sparked it. When you hear the story, and it just built up and built up and built up. I mean, you could go that, Rodney King, the verdict of Rodney King. On the anniversary of the Watts riots, somebody posted a newsreel footage about the Watts riots. And it was something to hear it. As somebody who grew up there and was in the area, what they were looting, they destroyed their own. There's no mention
of what so many
caused
times.
It. No mention of led to
Thank
the rebellion.
You. Thank you. And here's what I would say about And I say this as a lover of film, okay? And clearly, you know, I don't necessarily see myself as an activist or, you know, against white people, but, you know, there are a lot of white filmmakers who've taken it upon themselves to document, whether in documentary form or in a narrative form, take on some story about the black experience in America. You know, many, Spielberg's done it. I mean, many filmmakers have, but... many white filmmakers, I think, have a common blind spot. And that blind spot is that they can see the dramatic, you know, how dramatic this would be on film to tell this story. Right. They can see that as a storyteller. But what they're missing is what you said, which is context. Like, well, why? You know, what makes a film great, in my opinion, and, you know, your producer here said something that I loved hearing, is that, you know, the best way to educate people is to entertain them. You know, you got the attention.
Exactly.
Okay. So really educate. I don't need to be shown dramatically what I already know. I need to go a deeper layer, okay? The movie Monster, okay, is about a white trash, white woman, prostitute, serial killer. I will never be a white trash prostitute, you know. Serial killer prostitute. All right, but I understood why she was and why she became what she became.
Right.
And that's what made that movie work.
Patty Jenkins, right? Was she director?
Yeah, Patty Jenkins. Exactly. Yes. Now, to me, that's what makes a good movie, and a movie that's going to show me something that I don't understand, because everybody had heard that story about this serial killer, prostitute killing these men.
It was a big story in the news.
It was a big story in the news. Right. We'd seen it. So just to show her doing what she did would have been the TV movie.
Right.
But to show how she became that person.
The making of the monster.
The making of them. Thank you.
Yes.
And that is the blind spot that I think most of these white filmmakers, including Kathryn Bigelow with Detroit, have, where they jump right into the what, because it's dramatic, but they miss or skip over the why, which is, again,
and
what you're
talking
about. And
this is not to say that she doesn't have a right to make a film.
No, it's a good film. But for me, okay, and again, as a person of color who has often seen my story being told by others who are sympathetic, you know, you know, I see this blind spot continually, and it bothers me. So it bothers me to the
point. I haven't seen it yet, but, you know.
I know you kind of know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
All right, so do you have that, like, we have to go for a break?
I think we do. Look at Mr. Pritt.
is that your
I think that's
go
his
for a break face?
It's better than your ecstasy face.
Mike was talking, and we look out the window.
He's
it was like The Graduate. Elaine! Benjamin!
Well, at least I'm not standing here giving you Stella Dallas for all this.
Okay, are we gonna take a break?
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Cool. More Mocha later.
Mocha.
And we're back. And here's Bobby. We are back with Bobby Rivers and Mocha. Yes, M-O-C-H-A, and extra A if you want to. Man of a certain hue, H-U-E, and color. No, duh. You and color. Is that redundant? Man of a certain hue and age. Age, like I said at the top of the show.
Well, it was the age that it made you forget that it was.
It was. Thank you very much. I just had a senior moment.
As a younger man, I'm what's AARP?
I'm not the oldest one. You're not. You haven't hit 50 yet.
First of all, I'll never hit 50.
Ooh.
Just so you know. Okay. I stopped at 39 and counting.
That's right. We
just
bring
so
Jack Benny back.
Just.
Exactly. We are staying 39.
Jack Benny's back and he's black.
Okay. So, and we were talking about Detroit.
Yeah, we were talking about Detroit. Well, I didn't want to go too deep into a review of Detroit, but I just wanted to say, just in terms of, you know, you had mentioned, you know, at the top of the show, this documentary about these five filmmakers, which I really want to see. Five Came Back, and you talked about this documentary, The Negro Soldier, which I've never seen, which I really would like to see that. And just the idea how film is a place that people go to. Okay, so people will go to Detroit, don't know anything about it. It happened before their time. Okay, and again, I sat in a room full of white critics, watching this film. And I, it was palpable to me, that opening sequence when we see this black person throw a garbage pail through the window of a store.
Right.
There's no context to it other than, yes, cops are arresting some people and they don't like it, but we don't get, well, why would somebody throw, how does that help? And that, what I just said, how does that help? That is that question that begins that narrative. Well, you know, yes, this were wrong, but, you know, what they did was, you know, and let's not get into that justification
that certain people at the top have
for, you know, an extreme version of that.
Yeah.
So it is an issue, I think, and I think also, you know, why it's important. I think it's very important for people of color, people like yourself and myself, to be talking about these images that so many people believe in, that this shared dream, like, okay, we all are having this dream. What is that dream? You know, as a science fiction lover, okay, I grew up loving science fiction films, but knowing it's been shown to me that we're not going to make it in the future, we're going to be the first to die, you know what I'm saying? Planet of the Apes, one of my favorite films of all time. But I remember watching the film thinking, huh, you know, first of all, they come, it's thousands of years later, you realize, the humans are mute, all right, but they're all white, okay? And the black guy, when he lands, he's so rare that when they kill him, they stuff him and put him in the museum.
Hello.
And, you know, Charles Hessen runs by him. So I just remember that image, I didn't quite process it.
Right.
But then later on, you see a movie like Logan's Run, you know, it's the perfect world of the future, right? And then somehow they end up in D.C. It's D.C. they're in, but there are no black. How did they do that?
Okay. Or science fiction is the only place where you can have an interracial kiss.
Well, there you go. And that's that was escaped me because I was too young at the time. But I'm just saying,
right?
You know, film is this place where we, you know, it shapes our view of the world. That's
what I'm
saying.
Which brings me to the point.
Yes.
And we've talked about this, you know, as an extension of the talks that Hollywood was having on Oscars So White, that hashtag, diversity, inclusion. I grew up watching film review shows. I'm watching film critics on TV. And that field had no race, gender, diversity. It was predominantly white guys. And I would watch TV and go, okay, The Color Purple, Glory, Driving Miss Daisy, The Butler, The Help. It's always white guys telling me about the movie. And, you know, and nothing against the people who did the reviews, but there's nothing like a white guy in New York with a six-figure job telling me why I need to see Boys in the Hood, and I grew up in the hood. So,
listen, I can tell you, being on the voting committee for, I don't want to name the organization, but some organizations are on the voting committee, and they send you all these things around Oscar time. Isn't this a great film? You'll come out with the blackest film. It's about James Brown or whatever. All the reviews, all the quotes that they put on that are on there, like, you know, the best things in sliced bread. It's all the white critics. That's if they approved, they said it was good. So, you know.
That you know, and yes, because I was telling Keith about that. Because I had gone to a screening, saw a critic buddy I had not seen in a long time. You probably know him, Rex Reed. Mm-hmm. Hi, Rex. How you been doing? But, hi, I just got back from vacation. What? You said, I was on vacation for 4 weeks. I was in Monte Carlo. Then he told me why I need to see 12 Years a Slave. And I'm thinking, what? I said, I had slaves in my family tree.
Yeah, yeah.
I have never known a black person who had 4 weeks of vacation. At the same time.
But I know black people who worked at the resort.
My dad had 4 weeks of vacation. It took 4 years. He had 4 weeks of vacation. You should. Oh, have you seen 12 Years a Slave?
Don't even get me going. Now, we see, that's what I was going to say. Now, coming back to, you know, Capra and.
Nothing against Rex.
No, nothing against Rex. You know, coming back to Capra.
Fabulous in Myra Breckenridge.
Yeah. Yes, he was. He was good in Superman, too.
Yeah. All right.
But
every time he says, I cannot believe that was the worst performance ever. Rex. You were in Myra Breckinridge. Myra Breckinridge.
Sit down.
If Jesus had seen Myra Breckinridge, he would have said, give me the nails.
Stop.
Just.
Stop. Stop. That's sacrilege.
I'm sorry.
all right. But point I was making is coming back to Capra and, uh-huh. and context and film is propaganda. You know, Leni Riefenstahl's film was overt propaganda. But the images, the way black people have been portrayed on film is a different kind of propaganda.
Yes. Okay?
And especially when it comes to historical events, even more so. Like how, there are a lot of folks, okay, who their knowledge of history is from the little bit they got in school and what they've seen in movies. And that's it. And that's, as far as they're concerned, that's history.
Right.
That's life. That's the way things are. So I do think, how important it is to, when a black film comes out or a film about black, whether it's made by a black person or not, sure, the quote-unquote white critics view their film critic, they can be objective. But I think, that same blind spot can get passed on. Because I've read reviews of films that were great, and it's like, you're like, oh my God, this person just didn't get it.
Well, it goes beyond the reviews. It's they also miss our history. Let me give you a case in point.
Please.
Love me some Robin Roberts. Mm-hmm. I was watching Good Morning America. Honestly, I tried for years to get a job on Good Morning America, either in front of the camera or behind the camera, writing for the entertainment news reports. So now I think ABC has a lock on the Oscar nominations. It used to be all three networks would go live to when the nominations are announced, but now it's only ABC. So I got up early to watch the announcement for the Oscar nominations. So, and there's Robin Roberts. Cool. Wonderful. Good Morning America host with Chris Connolly, who worked at MTV and Premier Magazine, and Jess Cagle. So again, the networks never have anybody black in place to talk about the Oscars. They'll tap us for Black History Month, but not to talk about something like the Oscars or like, a retrospective of the films of Billy Wilder.
Don't I know it?
You know, okay.
I get called in, Nate Parker. Can you get more to talk about Nate Parker?
Yeah, so of course they were talking about, let's see if we're over the Oscars so white thing. It didn't put it that way, but you could tell they wanted to see. So Chris Connolly and Jess Cagle were both, as you could expect, oh my God, Meryl Streep just got her 47th Oscar nomination because, she got the annual one. She got, and I went, okay.
Her annual.
She got her annual Oscar nomination. They totally missed the fact that Viola Davis had become the most Oscar-nominated black actress in Hollywood history. And it was her third nomination. Compare 20 to Meryl Streep. And if there was anything that is a statement on the lack of opportunities for actresses of color, it was that for years, the most Oscar-nominated actress in Hollywood history was Whoopi Goldberg with two. She won for Ghost. She was nominated for The Color Purple. And Whoopi, Viola.
And there was a bit of time between those two.
20 years. 20 years. So Whoopi, Viola, Taraji P. Henson, Diane Carroll, Angela Bassett, Alfre Woodard, Cicely Tyson, Rita Moreno. I'm going to put her in there too.
Mm-hmm.
What do they all have in common? Oscar nominations. Maybe they won the Oscar and then they had to go to TV because Hollywood had no more script opportunities for them.
All the best actresses are on TV right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
So they totally missed the fact that Viola Davis is the most Oscar-nominated black actress in Hollywood history with her third nomination. And I guess they forgot the fact that, and she's on our network, ABC, with How to Get Away with Murder. And Denzel became the most Oscar-nominated actor in Oscar history with seven nominations, I guess because they didn't give scripts to Don Cheadle. Okay, just... Your point?
Be nice.
Okay. Be nice. That was history that you guys, had I been there.
An important history.
Yeah. Had I been there, I would have mentioned this. And I went, but
How about hashtag hire Bobby? Can we start that?
But I want to say, in my defense, it's not just the black stuff. I was watching, I'm going to use GMA again, years ago, where Bryce Dallas Howard was promoting a movie she was in. It's called Loss of a Teardrop Diamond. It was rare story written by Tennessee Williams, right? And she had said, because she plays a Southern Belle in her 20s, and she said, I imagined this character as Blanche DuBois young, because we only see her when she's middle age. And then I was watching it, Robin Roberts asked, and you were working with Ann Margaret, what was that like? Had I been the segment producer, I would have given Robin this information. Ann Margaret played Blanche DuBois.
On stage?
No. What? It was a special broadcast on
TV,
ABC.
Right.
So here you're working with someone who played Blanche DuBois on this very network, and you're playing what you feel is a young version of Blanche DuBois. What, you know, it would have given a little bit more resonance there. And I don't mean this to criticize Robert at all, because I love her big, but it's that's the input. You know, you put some diversity on your staff, and you get more.
Hire Bobby.
I wish you would. Would you come back and do another show? Because we got to wrap up.
Wrapping up? What?
I know we
got chipped.
I'm yes, older now. I got to use the bathroom.
Don't you hear the music playing? Come on, guys. Sign out. We'll be back some other time.
Off.
It'll be great.
Rip off. Sure, I'll come back.
I have coupons. The dinner's at 6 now. I'm older.
The blue plate special?
Blue plate special.
Or the blue hair special.
Oh, Lord, I've had both as dates. So, Mike Sargent, filmmaker, film reviewer. Instead of being a critic and saying, oh, this is bad, not good, so you put people in the seats. You bring them to the art of film.
I love talking about
movies with you. So we're going to go now. This is my first Mocha. You're going to come back, and we're going to talk movies some more in our next broadcast. Cool? Cool. Bobby Rivers, thank you for listening. I love the pleasure of your company on Mocha, Man of a Certain Hue and Age. See you next time. Or hear you next time. Or just listen to me, will you?
Mocha.